as a lover of Jesus and as a friend of the Holy Ghost. Receive Apostle Joshua Selman as he comes again to be a blessing on Rhea IC 2020. Will you celebrate grace? Celebrate grace. Celebrate grace.
Let's hold hands together.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love.
Holy, holy, holy.
We'll see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love.
Thank you, Jesus. We declare that from everlasting even to everlasting, you are God.
Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, be lifted higher, in and through our lives. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, be lifted higher. Let my King
be lifted high.
Let your name
be lifted high.
Let my King
be lifted high.
I am your house, your home. I welcome you, Lord, I welcome you. I am your house, your home. I welcome you today.
Thank you, Jesus. This morning we pray that the bread of the Spirit be opened, cause our eyes to see. And I pray in the name of Jesus that whilst you reveal your ways to us, you will cause the sick to be healed. You will cause the oppressed to be delivered. You will cause burdens and yokes to fall this morning. And we declare that forever your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Again, it's my joy to be here. Apostle sir, thank you. Thank you so much. Alongside your dear wife, we have... Let's see how far God will help us this morning. Glorify Thy Son, Part 2. Yesterday, we started to look at the scripture, John 17, verse 1. And we were examining the prayer of Jesus. Jesus is praying. And he said, Father, the hour has come. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that your Son may glorify you. And I did state yesterday that the glory of God represents the full expression of His beauty, His excellence, His infinite value. To glorify a thing means to make men aware of the worth of that thing. So to make manifest or to reveal God's glory means, therefore, to make public the infinite value and the worth of God, causing men to honor, to desire, and to desperately seek Him. Please do not forget this. This is really the foundation of our teaching, that we are mandated to invent any and every scriptural strategy that will compel creation to pay attention to God. Hallelujah. We have a responsibility to insist that they do not forget God. That when a man, even for a day, forgets God, something about our lives as living epistles will remind them. We become the continuation of Scripture. That we do not have to open Scripture to preach. Our lives remain extensions. An insistence over a territory that Christ be glorified. Hallelujah. And I told us yesterday that the technology by which the Father derives glory is that He invests that glory in the Son. It is in the glory of the saints that the Father is glorified. Please understand this. Glorify now thy Son, that thy Son may bring glory unto you. We also looked at John 15 and verse 8. Jesus is teaching here, and He says, herein is our Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Someone please say much fruit. The fruit must be compelling enough, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In John chapter 12 and verse 28. John chapter 12 and verse 28. Very interesting scripture. The Bible says, now this was during the transfiguration, and it said, Father, glorify thy name. The Bible says, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Hallelujah. So the Lord is depending on the excellence, the results that the saints would produce to validate the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. And we did share yesterday a very, maybe not interesting concept as to how glory is derived. That the door that leads to the throne is the cross, the only door. And that many times what God calls favor does not work like favor until it speaks in the end. I'm just recapping on yesterday's message. He tells Mary, thou art highly favored. And every other thing we see is trouble in our life, yet God calls it favor. And so that we have to learn to understand the speakings of the Spirit. That many times when God marks a path to glory, it may not be favorable. However, in the end, it will leave the saints glorified, matured, and built. Are we together? Praise the Lord. I also said yesterday that the saints have been equipped and continue to be equipped with the tools that will help us manifest God's glory. It is very important that we understand this. That God's insistence to be glorified through the saints pushed Him so far to invest dimensions of spiritual possibilities in the saints, so that when we manifest realities that are not affordable in the world of men, it will compel men to know that there is a God in heaven. This can't be it. God is so much bigger than this. This can't be it. My God is so much bigger than this. So He's calling you deeper, so you will rise higher, Hallelujah. And today, this morning, we are going to examine some of the spiritual provisions that have been made available to the saints in Christ. The tools by which we engage to manifest the glory of God. It's important that we understand that it takes more than good intentions to manifest the glory of God. There are spiritual systems that we must engage with understanding to be able to birth the excellence of God, the excellence of the Spirit in and through our lives. Are we blessed? The Bible says, let me start it this way, Romans chapter 8, when you read from verse 18, it says, "For I reckon," this is Paul mentoring the church in Rome, "for I reckon, I come to terms with the fact that the sufferings of this present time," he said, "is not worthy to the glory that shall be revealed in us." So there is a dimension of glory that shall be revealed in the saints. And the Bible says, even though momentarily there are constraints, but it says, take your eyes away from them. I reckon, I come to terms with the fact that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God." One version says, creation is waiting for God to reveal those who his sons truly are. It was Apostle John that taught us. He said, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Then he says, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear." It doth not yet appear, O Joseph in prison. It doth not yet appear what you will become. Hadassah, Esther, it doth not yet appear. So there is a system by which the saints rise from the pit to the throne, from Shushan to the palace, from Lodebar to sit with the king. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will open our eyes. And whilst we are doing this, please, I want us to be very sensitive. You see, when the word of God comes, it does not only come to enlighten. The word of God, when it is sent, it is not for enlightenment. It is for deliverance, it is for healing. Please understand, the word of God can be taught. But when the word of God is sent like a messenger, it comes like a warrior. He sent forth his word. He didn't say his word taught them. The word healed them. So the word here is both taught and sent like arrows from a man's quiver. And it has a mandate to search your life and look for what does not look like the Garden of Eden. And whilst you are listening and learning and growing, there is the Spirit behind the sent word that is responsible for the impartations. An impartation brings you into the experience of a thought. Otherwise, it remains a lecture. We are not teaching cunningly devised fables. There is grace to make men become. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number one, James chapter 3, the forces that make the saints rise in glory. Number one, supernatural wisdom. The Bible calls it wisdom from above. Please follow. We're dealing with the systems now that make for the lifting of the saints. James chapter 3. We'll start from verse 15. The Bible says, please give us verse 15. It said, "There is a wisdom, a kind of wisdom that descended not from above." It says there is wisdom that is earthly. Earthly. Wisdom that is based on experience. Hallelujah. Elihu talked about this kind of wisdom. There is wisdom that comes with age. There is wisdom that comes with your human experience. And then there is wisdom that is sensual, scientific, product of experiment. And then there is wisdom that is devilish, demoniacal wisdom. 17. It says, "But the wisdom," let's go to verse 17, please. that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we know that there is wisdom that is earthly. There is wisdom that is scientific. There is wisdom that is demonic. And then there is wisdom that comes from above. And the Bible says, he that cometh from above. I hope you know wisdom is personified as a person. That he that comes from above is above all. Hallelujah. Wisdom. The Bible tells us very powerfully that this force of wisdom is able to help the saints to rise and manifest dimensions of God's glory that dumbfounds principalities and powers. Mark chapter 6, please. We'll read from verse 2 and 3. Mark chapter 6. Permit me to do a little Bible reading. Mark chapter 6. Hallelujah. Chapter 6 from verse 2. It says, and when the Sabbath day was come, this is speaking about Jesus, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Now, the wisdom from above has a character. You will never pretend it is normal. When the wisdom from above is manifested, it will compel a reaction from those who watch, from those who see. They were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works were wrought by his hands? Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended. The wisdom from above will create a reaction, because the person and the mystery of the wisdom that comes out usually will not match. And so people will say, is this not this man? Is this not this woman? From whence cometh this dimension of wisdom? The wisdom that comes from above. Job chapter 28. I love the book of Job. Please be patient with me. Very, very powerful scripture. Let's start from verse 7. My verse of emphasis is 12. Job chapter 28. Are we there? It says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth. Can you imagine that? That the birds that fly, they have an advantage. They fly above the horizon, so they can see even what men do not see. But the Bible says, in spite of that advantage, there is a path which no fowl knoweth. The vulture's eye hath not seen. Verse 8. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. 9. It says, he putteth forth his hand upon the rock and overturneth the mountains by the root. We're reading, when we get to 12, we'll pause a bit. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes see every precious thing. He's describing the excellency. Now, watch this. He says, he bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid, he bringeth forth to light. But there is a big question now. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Let's read on. 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. ShopRite does not sell it. CBN does not keep it. Mm-mm. The hospitals do not save it. It is not found in the land of the living. 14. The depth said, it is not with me, in me. The sea said, I hope you know the sea is one of the mysteries that God uses to store things. This sea. When you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, everything came out of water, including the birds of the air. water has proven to be a very safe storage system, and yet they ask the sea, out of the many things you are hiding, is there wisdom there? And the sea searched and said, you cannot find wisdom there. 15. It cannot be gotten for gold, and shall silver, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. 16. I'm showing you the wisdom that comes from above. Listen to me. No man possesses this and becomes silent. It is impossible to be ignored when you carry this dimension of wisdom. Because the things people look for cannot even buy it. Wisdom, the capital that buys money. Wisdom, the capital that buys influence. Wisdom, the capital. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, or the precious onyx, or sapphire. Please read on. 18. Let's just jump to 18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, or the for the price of wisdom is above rubies. 19. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued for pure gold. When the Bible suspends you like this, it wants to show you the excellency of what will be revealed. It's the character of Scripture. Every time God suspends you and begins to compare something He's about to reveal to many things, He wants to burn it in your heart. That's what happened in Isaiah 40, remember? He began to say, have you not heard? Have you not seen the everlasting God? Then he begins to talk about the strength of the young. He would have gone straight to the point to say, they that wait upon the Lord. He was trying to contrast the weakness of men to the strength of God. So it is in the character of Scripture to delay you and frustrate your... Hallelujah. Please, let's read on. Just follow me. You have to follow me this morning. We're talking about wisdom. What verse are we in? It says, whence then cometh wisdom? So wisdom comes. True wisdom comes like faith. Faith cometh. Wisdom cometh. It's not the arrival that should matter. Wherever that wisdom is taught should be respected. Because it comes. It says, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing that it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. 22. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof. By wisdom, O God, heaven's gates open up. With understanding you order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars in your pleasing. Death, the last enemy that will be destroyed, says, even in Hades, the fame of this mysterious quality reached us. We do not know where it is found, but we know the effect. Because many were escaped from this place by that quality. That wisdom was a defense for many. Are we together, please? Please follow me. Next verse. Good understanding, the way thereof. It says, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place. The God of the universe. It says, earth, stop searching. Wisdom resides with me. You do not find it any other place. It resides with God. Only God understandeth the way. It says, for he looketh to the ends of the earth. Please keep the scripture. And seeth under the whole heaven. One more verse. To make the weight for the winds, and weighteth the waters by measure. Can you imagine? That God has a system of measuring even water. That's a dimension of wisdom. Whoever possesses this wisdom. There are three people in scripture. We're going to look at their lives briefly. Number one. is Joseph. Genesis chapter 41. For many years, preachers have thought that Joseph became prime minister because he could interpret dreams. I don't exactly believe that. His reward was not for interpreting dreams. His reward was for providing an economic solution. Genesis chapter 41. I'm jumping because of time. Please give us from verse 33. Now, he was done interpreting the dream. If he stopped there, Pharaoh would appreciate him, give him a day off, and he would return back to the prison. But I know Joseph. Joseph said, "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man." It was a diplomatic way of saying, "Pharaoh, I dare you. Search the entire place. If this wisdom is that cheap." It was a... Remember, he's coming out of prison. He has to be polite. It says, "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man." What an intelligent way of marketing himself. Discreet and wise. "And set him over the land of Egypt." We're reading on. It says, "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities." "And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." 37. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants." Watch the excellency of wisdom. "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is." Next verse. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed you these things, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. The rewards of wisdom. Thou shalt be over my house immediately." Wisdom brings speed. Immediately. No counsel, no advising, no thinking about it, no come tomorrow. It says, "According unto thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Wisdom. Not where are you coming from. Not who is your father. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck." 43. It says, "And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt." When you read on, he said, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." We can stop here. Everybody say wisdom. The lifting power. Did you know that it was on account of the lifting of Joseph that Israel was preserved in Egypt? The continuity of God's program preserved because one man manifested a dimension of wisdom that not the necromancers, the sorcerers, the astrologers, they could not understand from whence this wisdom came. And it lifted Joseph, preserved God's agenda, until there came another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. The wisdom of God is powerful. It can veto your background. It can veto your limitations. It can cancel everything that looks like a disadvantage. An effulgence of intelligence that is not necessarily academic. An effulgence of intelligence that is not just gained by earthly experience. Wisdom cometh. It can come to a man and turn your life into a sign and a wonder. Number two, Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Isn't it amazing that all of these people were in lands of captivity? It was not their native lands. Daniel chapter 5. We'll start from verse 5. Daniel chapter 5. The Bible says, now just a little background, this was during the grandson of, I think that was Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. And while they were feasting, the Bible says a hand came and wrote on the wall. And then, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, the same hand that wrote upon the mount with Moses, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. So that, let me tell you this. True wisdom forces you to meet with kings. Notice, every encounter was with the kings. Because when you meet with those who are not nobles, they do not sustain the ability to reward you enough. The goal is not just the revelation. The goal is your lifting. Are we together? So, when the wisdom of God is at work in your life, He will shut the heavens over every eyes and every ears. And He will see to it that there is a triumphant entry until you stand before the kings of systems and structures. Now, here, he finds himself... Daniel should not even, well, he had been exalted many times, but then this was now a unique situation that will bring glory to the name of the Lord in the land of Babylon, the epicenter of Antichrist activities. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. The king cried out aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler, dominion and wisdom, glory and wisdom. It always makes rulers. Wisdom will always produce kings, royalties, out of those who pay attention to it. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Verse 9. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and the lords were astonished. But thank God for a good wife. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. 11. There is a man. Kalisa Prakatuziata. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. We are going to read on. But I am showing you that this man, remember the Bible says that the things that are written aforetime, he says, they are for our learning, so that we through the comfort of scripture may find hope. Hope that the saints can still rise and manifest the glory of God, regardless all of the backgrounds, the limitations. These men possessed wisdom, and with this they wrought mighty things in their days. When you read on, Daniel was fetched, and the king began to talk to him about all kinds of things, and Daniel said, keep all your gifts, but I will still interpret. strangers shall entreat your favor, that you possess wisdom, and the blessed called it a privilege to talk to you, because the opening of your mouth is like the opening of the gates of their destiny. You communicate wisdom that is higher and beyond this realm. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning, may that dimension of wisdom rest upon someone. Number 3, 1 Kings chapter 4. Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. The Bible lets us know that this beloved son of David, Solomon, when you read 1 Kings chapter 3, we're not reading there because of time. Solomon is in a situation where after offering sacrifices, God would come to him in the night and say, Solomon, what should I give you? And Solomon asks for an understanding heart. And then the Bible lets us know that from that impartation, his life changed. He became an unusual king. And here is a compendium of all of the wonderful things that were done on the strength of wisdom. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings 4, 29. And God gave Joshua Selman wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. The proof, 30. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. And then he begins to list all the people, long list: Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcol, and Dada, and all of these people. Let's go to verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. One more verse. Okay, he spake of trees, and from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth from the wall. He spake also of beasts, fowl, and creeping things, and of fishes. The last verse. The Bible says, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Did you know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Amplified, arise from the depression and prostration that circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new light. Then it says, for the glory of the Lord is come. Are we together now? The Bible says, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Then it says, but upon you the glory of the Lord shall arise. And then verse 3 says, Gentiles, Gentiles shall come to your light. Gentiles, you will not look for them. There is something you possess that will compel all and sundry to come and interact with the wisdom of God that is invested upon your life. Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Then the Bible says, on account of that wisdom, that your gates shall be opened. It shall not be short day or night that you will receive the forces of the Gentiles. The wisdom that comes from above is powerful. Psalm 104 and verse 24. The greatest manifestation of wisdom is creativity. Please understand this. The greatest manifestation of wisdom is creativity. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. It says, in wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of your riches. It is impossible to sustain the wisdom that comes from above and then to not be able to provide creative solutions to the situations of men. We need the wisdom of God, especially in our day and our time. The manifestation of wisdom is always creative. To bet something out of nothing. Not just to transfer what is in one region to another. Wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you read from verse 6 down to 13, Paul began to mentor the church in Corinth, and he was speaking to them about a dimension of wisdom. He says, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are mature or perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to naught. Next verse says, but we speak this wisdom in a mystery. Verse 7 now. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Why? Unto our glory. The goal of this wisdom is that the saints be glorified. That whoever possesses this dimension of wisdom, you can draw from infinite intelligence and dumbfound your world with solutions, strategies, supernatural dimensions of spiritual reality. That is the reason why wisdom is tied to wealth. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read Proverbs chapter 8, please. Glorify now thy son, that thy son may bring glory to you. Glorify the saints. Invest a dimension of wisdom upon the saints that will dumbfound principalities and powers. It says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. We're reading the whole chapter. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. 3. It says, she crieth in the gates. At the coming, in at the doors. Verse 4. Wisdom. Unto you, O men, I call. Wisdom is crying. The Bible personifies wisdom. And my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my mouth be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward and perverse in them. Wisdom is speaking. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver. My God, you are given an option to choose silver or me. Choose me quickly. It says, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. That's why I called it the capital that buys money. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find the knowledge of witty inventions. 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, it says, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. Riches and honor, here it is. Precious Nigerians, precious Africans, inhabitants of earth, this is where true riches reside. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Let's stop there. This is wisdom. That when you possess wisdom, it pushes you to the throne. You will always find yourself at the corridors of power and dominion when you possess wisdom. We continue to search for the things that only true wisdom can give. And here the Lord is saying that in glorifying the saints, he will grant them access to the wisdom that is from above. I believe with all my heart that the days that are coming will reveal dimensions of wisdom through the saints. Supernatural engracings from God that will enable our faculties to think and reason out supernatural solutions that will dumbfound principalities and powers. This one will cause men to be astonished. The wisdom of God at work in ordinary men. When I was about to start ministry, many of you have heard me say it, I heard Pat Robertson of 700 Club, CBN. He said when he was a young man and was about to start ministry, he asked the Lord for three things, apostles, sir. Number one, wisdom. Number two, favor. Number three, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I went to God in prayer. I said, Lord, this journey is a long one. Give me wisdom. Give me favor. Give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The day wisdom came, I knew. I knew. It's impossible to possess this kind of wisdom and not know. Look what happened to Solomon. Imagine if you were Solomon's roommate. He gets up in the morning and it's not the same person who slept. His conversations, his intelligence. They brought two women who were arguing about children. And the next thing he said, bring me a knife. Wisdom grants you access to understand scripture. This is very powerful and this is very important. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 reveals to us that as we engage the word, we provoke the manifestation of 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. As we engage the word, we provoke the manifestation of this dimension of wisdom. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. As we engage the word of God, we sustain the intelligence to think like God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says to permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There was an understanding that made him the Christ. And the Bible says that by engaging the truth of scripture, we can tap into this dimension of the wisdom that comes from God. The interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that all of these manifestations of wisdom, Jesus made a very interesting statement in Luke chapter 11 and verse 31. Look the vastness of Solomon's wisdom. The Bible did say that Solomon was the greatest of all men in terms of wisdom and an understanding heart. But then Jesus speaks and says, the queen of the south shall rise up against thee in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And yet, hear me, believers, behold, see, a greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Solomon. The Bible says that the nations put a tax system on themselves, that every month they would bring gifts to Solomon. Show me that which came into your life from wisdom, by wisdom, through wisdom. Show me that which has come into your domain as a receipt that you possess the wisdom of the Spirit. Isaiah 11, he began to speak by the Spirit and he revealed that the Holy Ghost is sevenfold in his operation. And then he says that he can come to a man as the Spirit of wisdom. Verse 2, that a man can possess the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and that all of these things together, verse 3, will make that man of quick understanding. Quick understanding. A dimension of comprehension where the word of God comes alive. Listen to me. Truly, I can tell you the wisdom from above is real. There is a limit to which we can stretch our intelligence scientifically, sociologically. But the wisdom that comes from above has an interesting way. The wisdom that comes from above does not predict. It tells you what the future is like and prepares you to begin to walk in it. Yesterday, we were discussing very briefly with Apostle Goodheart after the service, and we're just sharing about the exploits of the GPPA system. And I was just commending the dimension of wisdom, something that may not have made sense, but look the impact that is creating all over the world. Years ago, then it was not popular to put messages online. I remember when the Spirit of the Lord came to me and showed me how the future will be in terms of media. And then he said, I want you to take your teachings, put them online. Just put them there, let them be free. I know you will lose a lot in terms of finances, but put it there. The angel of the Lord will give those messages wings and they will go across the world. This is the wisdom that comes from above. And I am humbled and remain humbled at what God has done in and through these teachings across the globe. This is wisdom that does not come just by... we are not talking about scientific creativity. We are talking about it like prophecy, like word of knowledge. It comes to you. Faith cometh. Wisdom cometh. You can sit and stand in limbo, not knowing what to do about your business idea. But when that wisdom comes, one light from heaven will turn 10 years, put it in 1 month. Wisdom. Life is hard without it. It is risky to walk without it. It is dangerous to walk without it. You must obtain this wisdom that comes from God. Lord, I'm tired of running my life scientifically. I'm tired of running my life just watching what is happening everywhere and trying to subscribe. Show me the future. Prepare me. Let the wisdom from the Spirit come and give me an edge in life. This is how the saints are glorified. Are we blessed? The wisdom that comes from God. Mighty dimensions of wisdom. The Bible says that men can ask for wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Apostle James was showing us how to provoke this wisdom. He says the first key, please look up. The first key to receiving wisdom is not to pray. The first key to examine, to looking at, to getting wisdom is to examine whether it's at work in you. It says if any of you lack wisdom, it takes a lot of humility to acknowledge that you do not have it. So the first key is not prayer. The first key is a recognition. Genuine acknowledgement that, Lord, I love you with all my heart, but I confess that my results continue to come to me as a receipt that divine wisdom is not at work in my life. And I stand before you unashamed. I cry for wisdom that will change the outcomes of my life. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, that means if you do not think you lack wisdom, you cannot ask of God, and then you cannot receive. I'm ever conscious of the limitations in my life. I'm not embarrassed about my limitations because they give me an opportunity to cry for the strength and the mercy of God. The strength of God does not come upon strength. When it finds strength, it goes back. It comes upon the weakness. So the more you acknowledge your need for His wisdom, you provoke the Spirit of wisdom. Believe me, when the Spirit of wisdom comes, you must change. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life is changed. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life must change. I will never... Help that gentleman. I've touched Your grace. I will never be the same. I've touched Your grace. My life is changed. I will never be the same. I've touched Your grace. The wisdom that comes from above that can turn ordinary people have no business with greatness. But the wisdom comes to veto your background, comes to veto your limitations. The wisdom of God escorts you like a protocol, and the gates continue to open like it did for Peter in Acts 12 until it brings you to the city. The wisdom of God will open the first gate, open the second gate, and people, while they are talking and wondering, will you go that far? Wisdom says, you do not know me. Find out the mystery that created the earth. I don't start and stop with men. When they hold me, I go that far with them. Let me tell you this. When you find a man that possesses the wisdom of heaven, be careful what you say, because you will have to apologize for sure. The wisdom of God insists till you reign. I know what I'm saying. believe me. The wisdom of God can take you from anywhere to anywhere. Anywhere. Under any circumstance whatsoever. It is true. Find a man that possesses this wisdom. And I show you a man that will remain an epistle of wonder. Your life becomes an unfolding of dimensions of grace and intelligence and power. Let this wisdom come upon you in ministry and it will turn you into a wonder. Let it come upon you in business and you will watch with shock and wonder that kings will entreat your favor. The church begs too much. We need to possess a dimension of wisdom that compels structures and systems. Let it be an honor for kings to come and drink of the investment of the Spirit upon us. It's not pride. It's the heritage of the saints. Glorify now thy son. Glorify now thy daughter.
My life must change. My life must change.
My life must change.
Please listen to me. We're going to pray. But if you can cry to God and say, Lord, I am aware the real issue is not lack of a job. The real issue is not lack of clients. Believe me. The real issue is not lack of money. The real issue is not lack of land. No. Do you know, we'll be having a session in the evening and I've shared it here. There are a few things God taught me about success that gave me rest. One of it is that it is burdensome to look for success. You will never find it. It runs faster than Usain Bolt. There is a way to call it. Rather than chasing success, be the door that it is running to. And then I learned that it is what is on you that controls what is around you. I learned that men can exhibit magnetic properties. That men can look like magnets. It is true. That a man can sustain an investment of the Spirit. Your life becomes a compendium of graces, spiritual possibilities, sponsored by intelligence. And you will begin to attract all and any kind of thing desired by men. When I found that secret, I gave myself rest. That it is true that what you are looking for is also looking for you. It is true that the growth you seek is seeking you too. It is true that the lifting you seek is looking for you. The problem has always been that something keeps diverging your address. And if you can let the grace of God position you, then you will find out Noah only needed to allow the grace of God place something upon that ark, and the animals started coming by themselves, 2 by 2, 7 by 7, all kinds, animals, like favor, like doors, all kinds, until the last entered and God himself closed the door. That means there is something upon my life. If I can become like that ark, everything will fish itself from every direction. It is true. Every good thing is delayed until you arrive. It should happen, but it's suspended because you are not yet there. I wish I had time, would have taught on favor as one of the mysteries. Because you see, the systems that make for an advantage for the saints must be understood. Glorify now thy son. By the investment of wisdom. Glorify now thy son by giving him favor. I may not have the time, but let me show you. Here and now, you can know whether favor is on your life. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. This is the grand litmus test for the presence of real favor. Please read with me if you're a Christian, it's projected. Ready? Read, please. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass
that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Show me your bands, and I will know whether you carry the favor of God. The Bible says emptiness is proof of the absence of favor. Number two, that favor works with the power of sight. That when you carry favor, the only person who cannot bless you is a blind man. This is it. He always gives favor in the sight, not the ears, not the hearing. Esther chapter 2, please, and verse 15. Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. Let's read the remaining part. One, two, read, please. And Esther, obtained favor, here it is again, in the sight of all them that looked upon her. When you carry favor, once a man makes contact with you, they are compelled. It's an ability of the spirit that compels them to reach out to you. Two verses later, verse 17, same Esther chapter 2, please. 17. Let's see this effect even on King Ahasuerus. And the king loved Esther above all the women. Meaning before she came, he loved other women. He had said, okay, maybe this would most likely be her. But when Esther showed up, she showed up with a grace. Favor is to be loved above. Not just to be loved. To be loved above. Favor is not just to be loved. That's compassion. Favor means to be loved above. Above all the CEOs. Above all the directors. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight. More than. That's the advantage. All the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. That when the favor of God is upon your life, your life will manifest a dimension of glory. People of God, believe me when I tell you, in this life, who hates you does not matter, but who loves you matters. That you become Beulah and Hephzibah, the delight of many. They cannot explain why they like you, but they insist that you must be happy. One person who loves you in this city can equal a house. One person who loves you in this city can equal a job, promotion. Life is hard when nobody loves you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus grew, the Bible says, in wisdom. Jesus, your Jesus. Jesus grew in stature. And Jesus grew in favor with God, and man. If you have favor with God alone, you will have encounters, but you will be poor. You will be broke. You will suffer in this life. You will have encounters. Your passion and your hunger will increase. But as far as your dominion on earth is concerned, it will look like you are not born again. You need favor with men. That was why he could say, go and get that coat. If the owner asks, remind him that there is something upon me, that the master had need of it. Listen to me. If you use money to pay for everything, you are not blessed. Show me the receipt of the things you purchase with favor. I will never be the same. Touch your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. Touch your grace. My life has changed. Favor. I believe in favor. I believe in favor. Many of us, depending on your background, you know it's a waste of time. Humanly speaking, there's no advantage there. There's no point hoping that things will change from there. You will have to outsource favor from another dimension. I believe in favor. The prayer that God will compel men to love you and be interested in your destiny is important. The number one reason for the lifting of the saints is favor. I'm showing you the systems of the kingdom that birth glory out of the saints. Glorify now thy son. Do you know that everybody, please sit down, we're going to pray shortly. Do you know that everyone who, you know, Apostle sir, I found out that nobody is really greedy. The concept of greed is relative. Everybody gives. The only issue is that nobody just gives of their own. They are compelled by an ability that sometimes they themselves do not understand. Whoever comes to favor you also has relatives in need. Whatever will make him leave them and come to you must be supernatural. I wish we had time. I would have walked a scripture with you. The Bible lets us know. Listen. The Bible says that David, watch this. David called on his servants and said, is there any man in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? That's 1 Samuel. It says, listen, and he called on a man called Ziba. Are we Bible students? And when Ziba came, he said, is there any man? And he said, there is a man called Mephibosheth. Now, the story of Mephibosheth was that it was not his fault. A midwife malhandled him and his destiny became crippled. There is a system for correcting what was an anomaly. It's called the favor of God. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says that you find that in chapter 12, I think, 1 Samuel 12. Chapter 12 or 13. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And then the Bible says that he said, go to Lodeba, fetch Mephibosheth. And when Mephibosheth heard it, he came and said, oh king, am I a dog? Why are you looking for this dog? What for? Fine, noble people. And the king said, listen to the following instructions, Ziba. As for you, you and your children, your assignment is to plow the land and bring in the harvest for this one. As for you, you will eat before me all the days of your life. Then the Bible ends with a very tragic statement. That should be verse 10. It says, and Ziba had 15 children and 20 servants. 15 children, and the king could not pick one of them. And he sent a man with 15 children, 20 servants, go to Lodeba and carry a crippled man. The favor of God. Made for the glory of the saints. That the favor of God can come upon you. And someone says, do you need a house? You say, what does that mean? He said, I don't know, but when I saw you, something. Aha, there it is. Something. When I saw you, something compelled. Listen, you can carry the favor of God so much on your life that you will go for a retreat if after 24 hours no one blesses you. You can carry that dimension of God's favor. Let me tell you, I apologize if I sound proud, but if in 24 hours no one blesses me, I will go on a retreat. Something is wrong. You can grow in carrying the favor of God. And the list of what you are given when you have favor is money. Greater than money is access. The proof of favor is not money. The proof of favor is the loyalty of a generation. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hey, hey. Let me show you how favor works. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. The Bible tells us that James had been beheaded and it pleased the Jews, and then Herod now caught Peter. Acts chapter 12. And then the Bible says that Peter was bound hand and chains. Are we together now? And then the Bible says that the church began to pray. listen carefully. And when the church began to pray for him, an angel of the Lord came to Peter. And then the Bible says, arise, he told him. And the chains fell off his hands. Watch this. And then he led him through the first gate. He led him through the second gate. And then they came to a gate that the Bible calls the Iron Gate. That's the gate that opens up to the city. The first gate takes you out of your challenge, but you are not yet in influence. The second gate sandwiches your yesterday and your tomorrow. But he came to a gate called the Iron Gate. And he said he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. When that gate is open, the next thing you see is the city. You encounter the hear ye him anointing that will cause everyone to hear your voice and stand to see to it that the purposes of God through you is birthed. Favor works. Believe me, favor works. It can bring you into your Sabbath. It will produce a dimension of glory that will dumbfound principalities and powers. Favor can take a man's lifetime and give you in a month. It is true. Favor brings speed. There are times God hurries you, but there are times he takes what you are running to and brings to you. That in your rest, you will step into dimensions of graces. Let me tell you, our world does not value the ministry of men a lot. Most times we say it doesn't matter. It does. Believe me, who loves you matters. The prayer to say, oh God of heaven, cause men to look upon me with delight, that I become like a well-watered garden, is a very serious prayer. Life will be hard when you do everything on your own. Hallelujah. It's the reason why many do not give. Because when they study how hard it came, when you receive freely, you will give freely. I have cried. I spent 1 month, sir, praying for favor. Because I looked at my life, ministerially speaking, territorially speaking, and I did not see any kind of inherent advantage. And I know that our world is a wicked world by default. Not everybody thinks you are that much of a big deal. And so I had to pray, Lord, there is a system of advantage that can lift men above and beyond the limitations of background, the limitations of territory. And the Lord told me the name is favor. Glorify thy son. Favor, prepared blessings by the mystery of favor. Favor is powerful. There are two women in the Bible. The Bible is named after two women, and it was favor that brought both women to the place of notoriety. One is the book of Esther. That book is not called Ahasuerus, it's called Esther. And it's an exegesis of how God took a woman from Shushan. She used favor to kill her enemy. She used favor to sit on the throne. She used favor to bring her uncle to power. Favor. The second person is Ruth. The book is not called Boaz. It's called Ruth. Starts with a woman who had lost her husband. And she walked her way into prepared blessings. Listen, let me tell you this. Do you know that life, the unit of destiny, is time? I've said this again and again, that these systems bring glory to the saints and also help to redeem time. They are time redemption systems. If you get born again at 40, I hope you know that in the name of honesty, you are late. Because it takes time to know God. The time you would take to argue about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the time you would take to argue about spiritual things before you eventually open up your heart, that will be another 10 years added to your life. Now, if you follow the normal course of growth, you will probably build your first house at 75. You will probably start giving to the house of God at 80. And so God says, do not worry. I've created a structure in my dealings with men to remedy for that which should have been a disadvantage. So two people can be on earth walking together. One says, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I've been called unto glory. And the other one would laugh at him. But as time passes, you begin to see these systems, the wisdom of God, the favor of God. God takes 10 years and gives someone in 1 month. Believe for it. Believe first that it is possible. There are people, respectfully speaking, who have been in this city for a very long time, but the city has refused to open. Do you know you can be in a city and the gates are closed? Every city has gates. And there is a voice that must ask the 2-link gates to pass Tita and Hita for you. You can do business in a city under a closed heaven. Even the word of God was under a closed heaven for 30 years. It took another man to open his heavens. The word, anointed, but under a closed heavens. I've seen what favor can do, and I've seen what hardship can do. Hardship is evil. It's not only bad, it's evil. And the reason why it's evil is because it sustains the ability to interrupt God's program, to interrupt kingdom advance. I want you to look at your life from the lens of honesty. If there is no ease in your life, it's proof that there is no favor. There may be progress, but progress at the expense, at the dissipation of such efforts that it becomes unfair for you to say, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified when I worked this hard. You know, a lot of people say, oh God, be glorified. You bless me. I got this car. But even you know you are not honest. It's difficult to give God glory because the condition under which it came, you fought, you argued, you lied, you pushed, you made all kinds of things and said, Lord, here it arrived. No. God is not just interested in results. He wants to sign on it so that you will know that this is the Lord's doing. And every time it is the Lord's doing, it must be marvelous. Hallelujah. I have about 10 minutes. The wisdom of God, the favor of God coming upon a life. The favor of God can fish you from anywhere and lift you. You just watch yourself rise in a way and manner that will surprise you. Lord, where are you taking me? And he says, keep watching. The lifting power of favor. And every gate continues to open for you. Open for you. And then he keeps you somewhere and says, now I have glorified you. Bring glory to the Father. Remember, the agenda is that the Father be glorified. Do not forget. But that the way the Father is glorified is that he glorifies the Son. Somebody must look at your life, and just by looking at your life, he gets down on his knees and says, who said there is no God? Chapters of scripture written on you. Who said there is no God? Who says favor is not real? Who says lifting is not real? And they are broken. They are not intimidated. It provokes worship. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I'm saying? Yes. Refuse ordinary results. It doesn't give God glory. When it happens the way it would have happened with every other man, God is not glorified, even though you make progress. God is not just interested in your progress. He's interested in that progress being an arrow that points men to him. So he does it in a way and manner that must force men to use everything about your life and your story to give God glory. The Bible says, let your light so shine, not before angels, before men, that they may see. They may see. God wants them to see. It leaves you as light, but they receive it as good works. Are we together now? It says, and then that they will glorify your Father. I want to bring God glory in and through my life. And so everything it will take to compel this arrogant world to see and acknowledge that God is real, we're in for it. And I can tell you, sincerely speaking, that the world has not yet seen what we will become. Compared to what God is doing in and through our lives, this is just industrial training. When He's done with us, we will reveal a dimension of the excellence of the kingdom. Until we get to points where the kings of the nations will call and say, I have learned by experience that God is with Rogic. I have learned by experience that you are called Apostle Goodheart. Can you come on behalf of the nation? I kneel down. Let this nation. We save a nation in a day without going to a crusade ground when we save the kings of that nation. Because every nation will revolve around the convictions of its leaders. Winning souls one by one, we will not be able to get a reasonable harvest even in our lifetime. We will need to not only save sinners one by one, we will need to compel their kings to bow to the lordship of the Christ. And their kings are arrogant people. It takes a dimension of results. It is Gentiles that come to your light. Kings don't come to your light. They come to the brightness. The brightness. Every other king came to pay homage, but Sheba refused. Sheba was not an ordinary woman. That woman of Ethiopia was a woman with accolades. But when the excellency of Solomon was sustained, the Bible says she had to come herself. When she came, and theologically speaking, for 6 months, she went round his palace looking at the dexterity of his workers, the intelligence by which he led the palace. The Bible says she had no breath in her. Did the Bible not say that it will be made manifest to principalities and powers by the church, the multifaceted dimension of God's wisdom, manifold, many-sided? There are people rising from this church, from this conference, in the name of Jesus, with dimensions of favor, that by next Sunday, when you come and stand on this altar, your tears will do the speaking. I believe it. Our growth rate is too slow. We must tap into a dimension of God's intelligence that will fast track our results. I'm here to stretch and challenge you. Thank God for what we have seen in our lives, but the earth is still the Lord's. Let no man bully you. Everybody met land. The earth is the Lord's. The real landlord is the Lord. The Bible says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Glorify now thy son. Glorify the saints. Take it out for me, Nigel. Listen to me. In my little walk with God, I have seen that in spite of the fact that the saints may seem to go through pain, like I shared yesterday, the saints may seem to go through disadvantages, but when the season comes for your appearing, it is a quick walk. The God of heaven, listen to me, is able to take reproach, to take pain. Scripture is full of men and women that God took away their reproach overnight. He's taking the pain and the sorrow away, giving me peace undeniable. There's no need to cry, cause you're always with me. You're my Father, my everything. Oh, make my way. Help me. Lord, you took my pain away, and then you gave me joy. You're my peace, my melody in the center of the storm. You gave me a brand new song to sing to you. That's why I will lift up my voice and sing, yeah, 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 yeah. sign now thy son. Number one, wisdom. Number two, favor. Number three, the power of the Holy Ghost. Please sit down. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. Please be sensitive. We are going to pray now. Truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. That God can take an ordinary man, please hear me, believers, and invest a dimension of spiritual possibilities in that person. The power of the Holy Ghost. God's ability to produce his dimension of results. Not your dimension of results. His dimension of results. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, when you read from verse 38, Peter is teaching in the house of Cornelius. That would be the salvation of the Gentiles. And he said how God anointed. To anoint means to ordain, to legitimize an operation. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Then the Bible says he went about. It takes more than sympathy to do good. It takes power to do good. He went about doing good and healing all, not some, all they that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. For God was with him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible tells us, listen very carefully, listen to me. The Bible says, it was at the point when Jesus had resurrected, he was spending 40 days to tidy up his lecture season with them so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Then they now asked him, will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put within his care. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive. Everything worthy of reception can be rejected. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power will not make you men of God. It will not make you business people. It will make you witnesses. A witness is a validator of a claim. There is no need for a witness until there is a prior contention. Creation continues to argue with the sovereignty and the lordship of the Christ. And so there is a generation of men and women that are not just being released as men of God. The title is just the geography of your witness. Witnesses, validators. It is not enough to say Jesus is Lord, it must be demonstrated. The reality of the lordship of Christ. I've said it again and again. Watch this. Sickness, oppression, all of these things are letters written to God through men from Satan. God uses men as his, like the canvas of a painter. And Satan uses men like the canvas of a painter. So when there is oppression, when there are all kinds of things, it's not just the condition. Satan is using the zenith of God's creation to mock and spite his proposals to being the Lord of the universe. And so when he uses men, it's a reply from the throne through men. A miracle is a reply from God through man to creation. I am still Lord. So when the sick are healed, it's not just about a man of God showing that he's anointed. It's more than that. It's a response. The Father is glorified because the aberrated view of the Father is now corrected. How many people leave God because they trust him again and again and it looks like he's about to fail them. He's failed them before, he's about to fail them again. And here comes a witness. Hey! Before you leave God, stand back. Let me show you the excellency of the kingdom that we represent. And then a miracle is born right there and then. And it changes your conviction. Did Peter not run away from Jesus for 72 hours? When Jesus resurrected, Peter was there trying to fish. And Jesus looks at him by the seashore, John 21. And he says, little children, have you any catch? And he says, none. He said, cast your net to the right side. When he casted his net, Jesus did not say, I am Jesus. He used a miracle to remind him, who else can do this? When Peter discerned, he said, I am a sinner.
taken the pain and the sorrow away. You've given me peace undeniable. There's no need to cry, cause you're always with me. You're my Father,
my everything.
Listen, I have seen what the power of God can do. We need the power of God. We desperately need the power of God. The world is tired of our stories. The world is tired of our explanations. So Romans chapter 8 from verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And then verse 9 says, "For the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God." The next verse says, "For creation was subject unto vanity, not willingly." It says, "But by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope." When you read down, it says that creation is waiting to step into the glorious liberty of the sons. The creation was subject to a state that the Bible calls the bondage of corruption. That by reason of the investment of the Spirit that you will receive, some of you will go back home and say, "Where is that age-long challenge that has stood to defy the purposes of God, that has brought shame and reproach to the name of the Lord in and through our family? I've come as a correcting fluid. I've come to change and wipe." Did the Bible not say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it says, "We were like them that dream." Then it says, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, and they said among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for us." It says, "The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Then it says, "Turn again our captivity like the streams of the south or the Negev." God is able to turn a man's situation around. Don't get too used to pain, because God is able to turn things around. Psalm 66 and verse 3. "Say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways." It says, "Through the greatness of thy power shall the enemies submit themselves unto you." "Rejoice not over me, my enemies." The power of the Holy Spirit is still valid. It is able to change. Listen to me. The Bible says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Apostle Peter is teaching the church now. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our God," and all of that. And then verse 3 says, "According as his divine power." Listen carefully. The agency that births the miraculous is his divine power. Your faith only connects you to his divine power. "According as his divine power hath given us," how many? The giver of all things is his divine power, "that pertains unto life and godliness." All things. There is a dimension of power that can come upon your life that will ward off the activities of darkness. It takes power to prevail. The Bible says strong men retain riches. Wise men can get it, but strong men make it transgenerational. Apostle Paul did not leave us in the dark as to the fact that we are compassed by and with all kinds of demonic activities. Did he not say, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers," he said, "against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." There's no point hiding it. We are not alone. The Bible tells us, while men slept, there are strangers that don't sleep. It is true. It takes power to survive in ministry. It takes power to survive in business. Only God knows who and where and what is conspiring against you while you are seated here right now. But your confidence is in the invincibility of God's power. Hallelujah. People lost their children because Jesus was born. People lost their children because Moses was born. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have seen darkness in my life. I have seen evil. I know it is real. It takes the power of God to stand. It takes the power of God to defy every kind of challenge that comes. And let me tell you this. the miracle working power of God is a testimony that no man can argue against. Are we together? Yes. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 48, it says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. This is not a generation of loyalty for nothing. This is a generation of proofs. People want to see the reality of God, the reality of the power, the glory of God. And I told God, I said, Lord, I will never, never be a man of God that will stand to just explain what can happen when you are there. No, the Lord was in this place, Jacob said, and I knew not. But the Lord can be in a place and you can know. We're going to be praying. Let's take a few minutes and allow His Majesty to lift up burdens. Let's allow His Majesty to turn the captivity of men like the streams in the Negev. Please sit down. I'll ask you to stand up shortly. But this is very important. And there are men and women who are here. You are here to receive graces and mantles, like Apostle Goodhart said. It's important to know that God is able to help you. What's that song? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet will ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. One more time. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Believers are not ordinary people. Don't get used to your body. The power of the Holy Ghost resides in us. It is true. That will compel the nations to worship when they see His Majesty at work in your life. Then they will know. I'm seeing light moving. Please just bring them out if you can. Just a few minutes, I just began to see light moving across, and the Lord is saying He's bringing is a spirit, a dimension of hunger for spiritual things. Help them, please, so they don't injure themselves. I just want to see them. Please bring them out. You are stepping into a season in the spirit. Bringing you by His power. Paul said, when I came to you, he said, that I did not come with the excellency of speech, so that your faith will not rest upon the wisdom of men, Sophia, but upon the power of God. The power of God. The power of God. I'm seeing the number 11, and the Lord is telling me He's bringing speed to these people. The anointing of the Spirit will come upon them. Some of them will start running physically. Please help them. Bring them out now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Step into that dimension. I bring you the ministry of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Please help them. Whether you're an usher or not, you can help them. Step into this dimension. I release you. Speed by the Spirit of the living God. Speed in the name of Jesus. Did the Bible not say, and I will restore? It's not just a scripture. I'm speaking to someone. 11 people. The influence of the Spirit is upon you, taking away the sorrow, bringing you into a dimension of speed. Please help that brother. Your life is changing. Revive to reveal His glory. Hallelujah. Please hear me. I have a few minutes and I'm done. I'm stretching my hands. I'm seeing chains. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit. The Lord is opening my eyes and I'm seeing chains. And at the count of three, I want to pray. My Bible says, now the Lord is that spirit. It says, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to pray. In the name of Jesus, I want you to shout the name Jesus. As you shout that name, chains that have held you, age-long captivities, must let you go. I come by the rod of the higher priesthood. In the name of Jesus. One, get ready. Two, three, shout Jesus. I command the chains, be broken now. Be broken now. Be broken now. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Hallelujah. 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 Hold on, please. Who is Rachel? Rachel. I'm hearing a name, Rachel. I'm seeing you are seated here, somewhere in the middle. Who is that? Come. Hello, Elohim Adonai. Hello, Elohim Adonai. Please stand up, my dear. Where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? What do you have to do with Kubwa? There's no... Okay, no problem. That's alright. What do you have to do with Kubwa?
I stay in Kubwa.
You stay in Kubwa.
Yes,
I want to pray for you because a season is opening before you. You will never forget this encounter. Listen, look at me, my dear. Forget about the challenges and the disappointments. The Lord is saying, I should tell you, He's opening before you a door that no man can shut. I release that anointing upon you now. May that door be opened now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Philip. I'm hearing a name, Philip. Philip. I don't know who that is, but the Lord is ministering to me. I'm hearing a name, Philip. We're here for a few minutes and then we have to close. Philip. I want to pray, but... Philip. Philip, you are wearing a t-shirt. Is it a t-shirt? Something that looks like a t-shirt. Like maroon. Something of that t-shirt. Who is that? What's your name? Philip. You are Philip too. What do you do, my friend?
I work in the church office.
In the church office. What do you do, sir?
I run a creative enterprise.
Sorry?
I run a creative enterprise.
Will you believe in what I'm about to tell you? The Lord says the losses. Please look at me. The losses. This is what I'm seeing. You are crying. Oh dear. The Lord says I should tell you that the losses that happened in 2019, that before May this year, the Lord is turning your life around. I don't know who you are, but I want to speak to you. Listen, prophecy does not only reveal, prophecy creates. Prophecy makes what has no business happening to happen. The highest dimension of prophecy is not revelation, it's creation. Sir, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. According to the word of the Lord, I stretch my hands towards you. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit bring you into that dimension of results, that your life will produce glory. This dear man is crying, but in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. Hallelujah. Someone will start prophesying now in a loud shout. I just saw the spirit of prophecy. Hold on, please. coming on someone loud to the hearing of everybody. Please bring the person out right now. I just saw an anointing just resting on someone at the back. Supernatural grace. And then you begin to prophesy even by the Spirit. My friend, I want to pray for you. You are a light to your family. I don't know you, but I'm seeing that if you do not manifest, there will almost not be anybody who will stand to lift up that banner. And the Lord is saying to anoint you. I stretch my hands to you by the God of heaven, and I declare in the name of Jesus, may your life change. In the name of Jesus Christ. My friend, look at me. This gentleman, shout Jesus as loud as you can. You will never be the same. Never be the same. There is someone I'm seeing. You are a minister of the gospel. A strong anointing is coming on you now. We are praying. I don't know who that person is, but I'm just responding as God is revealing to me. Please help. Bring the person. You are stepping into a supernatural dimension of grace. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing. Please don't miss tonight. Whatever sacrifice you will need to make tonight, gather your family, gather the entire Abuja. This is more than a church program. It's an apostolic invasion. Please hear what I tell you. Even if it's for you to sit on the roof this night, come. There will be provision to sit on the roof, because what God will do tonight, He will do something in your life that will turn your life around. Please believe it. Whatever encouragement you can make for your loved ones to be here. I'm seeing someone with a pain. We may not have the time to minister to the sick now. Maybe we'll leave that for evening. But I'm seeing severe pain. You are a woman around your abdominal region. Help this man. I'm seeing oil pouring on his head so that he does not injure the other lady. I don't know you, my friend. But in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands. I saw oil being poured on your head. Let that grace rest upon you now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been married for 2 years now. No child. I know that people, but I'm seeing this as a revelation. This may be the last case I'll just deal with. 2 years. The Lord is showing me no child. Who is that? You are at the back. The person is at the back. This is what God is showing me. Is there someone like that? Come, your time has come. Is your husband here, madam?
No.
Please stand up. Don't cry. He said, weep not, for the book is open. Please don't. I'm not saying if you are looking for a child. 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. When did you get married?
2017, November 2017.
Where is your husband?
He's in Otukpo. I came in from Otukpo. I head of the program. I used to worship here before I got married. When I head of the program, I told my sister, I have to be here. I'll be following you online. I said, I have to be here.
Listen, go and tell your husband to prepare for a baby boy.
Thank you, Jesus.
I speak to you by the Spirit
Thank
of God.
You, Jesus.
According to the time of life.
Thank
in
you,
the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. I don't care what is wrong or what is right. I speak to you by the power that raised Christ from the dead. In the name of Jesus, return with your testimony.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He says, my heart is indicting a good matter. Yeah, I speak of excellent things. And he says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My sister, this woman, you are part of them. You came to. She's an usher. You are an usher, but I need to pray for you. That the conspiracy, I command, I'm seeing something stand behind you like a spirit. In the name of Jesus, I speak now. It lets you go now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. They will not tell you you have a medical condition that will have to fly you abroad for treatment. I cancel it now. I don't know you, madam, but this is what you get in church. You don't get this in a bank. You don't get this in a lecture room. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you again. I rebuke the spirit that wants to plant an infirmity in your body. Something is leaving you right now as I'm speaking. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This is your wife. Please come. You've been married how long? 3 years. What do you do, my friend?
I work in a private firm, sir. I work in a private firm.
You believe God can lift you? Because the first thing God wants to change is your finances, not even the issue of your wife. God will deal with that issue, eh? You believe what I'm telling you? You see, let me tell you. There are three dimensions of wealth. There is wealth that comes by providing value, serving it with excellence to a targeted consumer base. There is value that comes as, there is the financial blessings that comes as a reward for transforming lives. But there is the highest dimension of wealth called sovereign wealth. Wealth by prophecy. The finger of God. You understand? Yes. God designs that system to support your growth. I want to pray for you. My dear, place your hand on your stomach. I want to pray. Don't cry. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands by the God of heaven and I decree and declare. Father, let this medical situation be turned around now. In the name of Jesus, go and return with your children. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I just saw in the spirit something that looks like an employment letter. This is what I saw. Someone, I think you applied for an interview and you are waiting. And between this night and Monday, I'm seeing it coming. In the name of Jesus. I will not tell you what God is not showing me. I declare by the Spirit of the living God. Let it be in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let it be in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Apostle, sir, I don't know this woman of God, but the Lord is asking me to speak over her life. I don't know you, madam. No, you can just stand there. I don't know you. I don't know what you do. You're a woman of God. I want to pray for you. Is it all right? Can I pray for you? Father, I'm looking at this woman and I'm seeing her climb a ladder in the spirit, sir. And every time God shows me people climbing a ladder in the spirit, it means promotion or new dimensions. That means he's opening up a greater horizon. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands and by the power... Oh! Okay, no, okay. I was going to... Yes. I stretch my hands, madam. In the name of Jesus, the fire and the grace that will take you to a new dimension, I release it upon your life right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have to round up. Please bring the person who shouts now loud under the anointing to the hearing of everybody. Why God does this thing sometimes I do not know, but there are signs and wonders by the Spirit. A loud shout to the hearing of everybody. Please let me have that person now. In the crowd, not just those. The Bible says the shouts of joy and victory shall not depart from the tents of the righteous. Listen, please, whatever sacrifice you can make today by the Spirit of God, the issue is not you coming. The issue is your loved ones. There are people you know. While you are here, you are already saying, I wish they were here. Please gather them if it means to come and endure whatever price it will take so that God is able to reach out to people. I'll be sharing with you a very powerful revelation tonight by the Spirit of God, and then we will trust God to truly minister to our needs. Truly minister to our needs. Where's the person that just came out? In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands over you, my dear, and I declare by the Spirit of God that it is over for you right now. That challenge that stands, I'm seeing you stand in the midst of something that it looks like a pit with bottles inside. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are free now. And you are free forever. In the name of Jesus. You are free now. And you are free forever. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You are free now. And you are free forever. Can I speak over your life? Between now and the evening, I prophesy over your life. In the name of Jesus, return with strange testimonies. Please believe it. Please believe it. Please believe it. Please believe it. in the name of Jesus, the door that must open between now and the evening, I stand by the God of Jeshurun, joining faith with your man of God, the angel over this house. I speak over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare a fatah. May that door be opened now. I don't care what has left you. I stand by the Spirit of the living God and by the power of the prophetic. I call it back into your life. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
My head. Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting.
God for this visitation. Let's give God glory for opening the portals of heaven and pouring upon us this hour His engracement, our placement as He has ordained, bringing us into glory. Father, we are here again to say thank you. We return praise and honor to you, for your Spirit has moved amongst us this morning. Let's pray for fresh grace upon God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selman. Father, let your hand rest upon him in greater dimensions. Continue to use him, Father, from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. The Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Please, you may be seated for a moment. The journey to glorification begins with a predestination and a call. This morning, the portals are open. You are here. You have not given your life to Christ. You must answer that call first before you can enter ultimately into the glory that God has ordained for the saints. If you are here this hour, you are not yet born again, can you just wave your hands? I'd like to pray with you. Give me that privilege. I want to be born again. I want to be connected to this grace. You are seeing the outer courts. There is a barrier. But this morning, the grace of God can make a way for you. Is anyone saying, I want to be born again? Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. This morning, we're going to honor the Lord with our seeds. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. He has shown us His love, and this hour we have the privilege to also show to Him, Lord, I love you. Will you quickly package your offering as we honor the King? We'll not give Him the remnants. He deserves the very best that we have. He that gives sparingly reaps sparingly, but he that gives bountifully also reaps bountifully. Your seed determines your harvest. Will you quickly do that? If you have done, please lift it up and just speak a word to the Lord. Father, I just love you. Thank you. I cannot pay for any of your mercies that I enjoy from day to day, even for the amazing blessings I've received from your throne again this hour. Lord, thank you. I just give you this token to express my gratitude. Accept my person and accept my seed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please pass your seat to the closest aisle. The ushers will help us to quickly pick the offerings while we take these announcements. Glory to God. Video on demand. Kindly visit the Wi-Fi hub at the foyer just behind as you are stepping out of the hall here, for copies of Healing Scripture on MP3 from the book titled Healed to Serve by Pastor Bimbo Ekweme. And also today's message is available for download without data. Just get there, you'll be guided on how to download today's message without necessarily using your data. Let's just appreciate God for that favor. Revival is here again. International Conference 2020 continues this evening here at the Golden Bird Event Center by 5:45 p.m. prompt. Free bus shuttle will be available to ply the following routes immediately after the service in the evening. Area 1, Bega, Nyanya Karu Axis, and Lube Axis. So invite as many as you have contact with to come for the service in the evening. And please, when you come for service in the evening, it is our culture here. We are very organized. In the house of God, there is no disorder. God is not the author of confusion. We don't rush out on God. We don't walk out on God. Please, don't be in a hurry when the minister finishes preaching to start rushing out of the facility. Let's give honor to whom it is due. Our God is most deserving. Please get a copy of the Reha IC 2020 expectation and prayer card from an usher. Write your prayer points and expectation legibly and submit to an usher before you leave. They are with the cards, so please just pick a copy and do that before you step out. If you would like to share your testimony in the evening, please come early and meet any of our pastors, or just as you're entering at the foyer, when you see the information desk just on your right, please detail them your testimony and you will be accorded the opportunity to share with us in the course of the service. With Jesus' joy, let's welcome God's servant, Apostle Goodhart.
Can somebody give the Lord a shout and a praise? That sounds like you gave yourself a shout and a praise. Let's give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Father of all spirits, the Governor amongst the nations, the deserving shout and praise he deserves. Hallelujah. Just reach out to 2-3 people and tell them, I'm leaving here a brand new person. Hallelujah. Please be seated for 2-3 minutes. We'll exit very shortly. We're back here tonight as early as 5:30 p.m. We'll begin our prayers before we engage in an intimate time of praise and worship. Endeavor to be here early to get a good seat. Want to celebrate a great number of leaders, pastors, because the Bible does say we should give honor to whom honor is due. They've taken out time to join us to break the bread of life. Yesterday we had Reverend Maxwell and Pastor Mrs. Bintek Benedict. Let's celebrate them nonetheless. Hallelujah. Yesterday and today, Pastor Atinuke Asegeme, please celebrate. Pastor Kairade and Mrs. Ifama Longe, celebrate please. Pastor Benjamin Areba, Pastor Chi Okeke, my dear sister, celebrate. Welcome to Rogic. Pastor Opi Anga, celebrate. Hallelujah. Pastor Tunde Ayane, my dear friend and brother. Pastor Gabriel Tony. Pastor Oral Onuibo was here yesterday, still here. Pastor Ikenna Solomon, I cited you by the screen. Bishop Great Eremosale, my in-law. Pastor Victor Omobude from Houston, Texas. And Apostle Ofoja stepped out, and his wonderful wife, Obioma Nzimiro. Her birthday is today. She's celebrating her birthday in God's presence. Happy birthday, God's handmaiden. Hallelujah. And Pastor Folusho and Elizabeth Ishola, you still here today? Praise God. Now, if you're a pastor and I haven't called your name, it's not intentional, please stand kindly so we can properly honor and celebrate you. Pastors, leaders, please stand.